may be seated. We're going to expedite the process here. Man, oh wow. Show me your glory. Let me share with you what the Spirit of God placed in my heart for this assignment this morning. And to put it in a 21st century context, we'll biblically substantiate this in a second. Many moons ago, there was a lady named Jezebel, and she tweeted. Are there any questions? Of course, as you well know, this is before Elon Musk took over Twitter. And, hey, Elijah, in 24 hours you will die. 1 Kings 19:2, Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. May the gods strike me and kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you as you have killed them. That's a de facto old school tweet. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. I want to juxtapose Jezebel's tweet, her threat, with what took place in 2 Kings 2:11. As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, referencing Elijah and Elisha, separating them. And Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 13. And Elisha picked up Elijah's mantle. I want to speak to you on the subject matter, the collective meta-narrative of Show Me Your Glory, Jezebel's tweet, the threat versus the testimony. The subtext is this: when heaven starts it, hell cannot stop it. I need you to touch the neighbor you like the most and tell him, when heaven starts it, hell cannot stop it. Now touch the neighbor you barely tolerate and tell that neighbor, when heaven starts it, hell cannot stop it. On one side, we have the threat. On the other side, we have the testimony. And I want to remind you from the get-go, the testimony will always be greater than the threat. What God has placed upon you will always be greater than anything hell can place in front of you. If you're taking any notes, and good luck with that. It begins when we are fully cognizant of the fact that we're living in a time, without a doubt, where the spirit of Jezebel and Ahab and Baal are alive and well. But we carry a mantle. That mantle is greater than the threat. I'm going to repeat that for the hearing impaired. The mantle is greater than the threat. The anointing inside of you is greater than anything hell can send against you. I want to repeat that coming out of the season. Melbourne, Australia, the anointing is greater than the threat. The Spirit of God inside of you is greater than any hell that can be in front of you. The Spirit of God inside of you is greater than any weapon formed against you. Number one, that mantle, and I want to just frame the mantle to give it clarity. It is, without a doubt, the mantle of the Spirit. Everyone repeat after me, the mantle of the Spirit. So we're juxtaposing the mantle versus the threat. The mantle of the Spirit. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah. He fastened his clothes around his waist. He ran. He had this mantle. Elijah had a mantle in 1 Kings 19:19. He places the mantle upon Elisha. And then subsequently, we read it. Elisha picks it up when Elijah finally is taken up. I am convinced and convicted that we're living, spiritually speaking, just like in the days of Ahab, Jezebel, and Baal. We are in Australia, in America, and all over the world. We cannot deny the following. Listen, Ahab, let me give you some background here. Ahab was a mucho malo hombre. The spirit of Ahab is alive and well, robbing love, killing joy, destroying peace. Ahab is alive and well, that spirit. It represents forces with access and authority attempting to prompt us to sacrifice truth on the altar of political and cultural expediency. The spirit of Ahab is alive. In 1 Kings 16:34, Ahab was cuckoo. Ahab was the first king that ever gave permission for the rebuilding of the walls of Jericho. No other king in Israel's history ever had the audacity to rebuild what God knocked down. This guy comes along and says, I give permission for you to rebuild what God knocked down. The spirit of Ahab is alive. In Australia, in America, around the world, there are things that God has already addressed that the spirit of Ahab is trying to bring back up again. And I don't want to get in trouble here, but that spirit of Ahab is truly made manifest as we continue to see racial strife and discord and ideologies permeating every single sphere of society for the purpose of dividing us in perpetuity because of the color of our skin. So Ahab loves to see us divided by race, which reminds me to tell you there is no such thing as a white church or a black church or a brown church or a yellow church or a red church. There's only one church, Australia. It is the church of Jesus Christ. And the gates of hell will never prevail against her. Jezebel was his wife. So this man was bad and he had a wife and she was nasty on steroids. And the spirit of Jezebel was alive and well, persecuting, prosecuting, and attempting to silence the children of the cross. Jezebel represents a manipulative, sexually coercive, perverse, corrupt cultural spirit intent to kill the prophetic voices, to silence truth and construct Asherah poles in order to marginalize the oracles of righteousness and justice. A spirit that exploits the moments in our lives when we are exhausted. A spirit that, according to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 20, even good Christians may be guilty of unfortunately tolerating. For this one thing I have against you, you have tolerated the spirit of Jezebel. The spirit of Baal is alive and well, demanding that truth and children in and out of the womb be sacrificed on the altar of the false. If you haven't noticed, there is a spirit like never before coming after our children. There is a spirit coming after our children. There is a spirit unleashed on the planet coming after our children. But let me prophesy. We, our generation will not be defined. Our generation will not be defined. Our generation will not be defined by Ahab or Jezebel or Baal. Let me prophesy, Planet Shakers. We are about to see Elijahs and Elishas rise up in the name of Jesus. And we will confront Baal and we will declare, get your hands off our children.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Samuel Rodriguez here on TBN. This show is completely sponsored and paid for by New Season Church in Sacramento, California. Newsmax magazine has rated New Season Church one of the top 15 fastest growing megachurches in the country. They also named Pastor Sam Rodriguez one of the top 100 Christian leaders in America. If you have ever been blessed by this program, this church, or Pastor Sam, would you consider partnering with us by making a donation? There are many ways to give. The QR code on the screen can be scanned by your phone. You can text NSSAC to the number 77977 or by going to newseasonworship.org and clicking give at the top of the page. New Season is a church that looks a lot like heaven. And every week this program strives to give you a message that sounds like it came from heaven. Content that is meant to encourage, edify, and inspire you. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And this program is meant to bring forth the Lamb's agenda. Thank you for considering giving to this program so that the message of Jesus Christ can continue to be broadcast on TBN to over 2 billion potential viewers across the globe. No matter the amount, any donation helps keep this program running. Would you please consider partnering with us? In doing so, we have the ability and opportunity to change the world.
So here's a deep seminary endorsed, biblically contextualized, Hebrew exegetically substantiated phrase. Whatever that means. Found it on Google. Don't drink the Kool-Aid, which means do not conform to this world. I don't care what you're reading on social media, what you're watching here on your ABC or on BBC or CNN. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. I want to remind you, that's why we're here. The most powerful spirit on the planet today is not the spirit of Ahab. I need the church to recognize this. We have to, wait, get off your fetal position. Let the church stop sucking her thumb. Stop whining about everything. We're not victims. We're more than conquerors. Stop complaining. Stop posting your complaints. The most powerful spirit is not Jezebel. The most powerful spirit in Australia and around the world is not Baal. It's not Ahab. Are you ready? In 2023, the most powerful spirit is still the Holy Spirit. If you believe it, shout like you have that spirit. Praise like you have that spirit. Worship like you have that spirit. Preach like you have that spirit. Live like you have that spirit. For it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. The spirit of God is still moving. I'm going to say it again. The spirit of God is still moving. I don't care if you deplatform me. I'm going to say it loud and clear. The spirit of God is still moving. El Espíritu Santo todavía se está moviendo sobre la faz de la tierra. Y no hay nada que podrá tener el mover de Dios. Nothing can stop it. Nothing. Where that spirit is present, there is power. I said there is power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, there is freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17, we are to be driven by that spirit, not by the flesh. Galatians 5:16, we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, not drunk with wine. Ephesians 5:18, we are anointed with the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:27, we are defined by that spirit. Romans 8:11, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. All the Holy Spirit people shout like you have that spirit. And cameraman, where are you? Give me a tight shot. I want to make this clear in light of what happened in the past 3 years. Not getting in trouble, just making it clear. There's not a legislative initiative, an executive decree, a court decision, a social media campaign, or even a virus that can stop the Holy Spirit from moving. Is anybody ready to see God show up? You can't cancel the Holy Spirit. You can't deplatform the Holy Spirit. You can't defund the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit cannot be stopped. Are there any questions? Real quick, I got to expedite the process. Number two, número dos, it is the mantle of drought, fire, and rain. Somebody say drought, fire, and rain. So the mantle is the mantle of the Spirit. It's the anointing, 1 John 2:27. New Testament. It's Christology. It's New Testament, New Covenant, application of the reality from an Old Testament narrative and completely elevated by the vicarious, atoning, finished work of Christ. It is the mantle of drought, fire, and rain. 1 Kings 17:18. The mantle embodied and represented a prophetic spiritual authority upon this holy man of God. It was his testimony. It was on him when he unleashed the drought in 1 Kings 17:1. It was upon Elijah in 1 Kings 18:38 when he prayed down fire. It was upon him in 1 Kings 18:41 when he said, "Here comes the rain." Somebody say drought, fire, and rain. This really serves, drought, fire, and rain, as an outline of a journey to a great degree, arguably, that each and every one of us must go through. Drought, fire, and rain. And let me ask, I don't want to be presumptuous. If you've been through at least one drought, emotional, relational, financial, physical, spiritual, if you've been through at least one drought in the past 3-5 years, raise one hand. If you've been through a couple of serious droughts where nothing was growing, where things were dry, raise both hands. If you've been through so many droughts in the past 4 years, 5 years, that you lost count how many droughts you've been through, raise both hands and a foot. If you've been through so many droughts that if I Google the word drought right now, automatically the algorithm will take me to your Instagram account. We all go through droughts. All of us go through droughts. If you've never been through a drought ever in your life and you've been serving Jesus for years, please come up at the altar call at the end because I want to worship you. We've all been through droughts, but here's the thing. People want to jump from drought to rain without going through the fire. And the chronological order of 1 Kings 17, 18, elevated through the life of Christ, especially in the Gospel of Matthew, really tells us it's drought, fire, and rain. We all must go through the fire to get to the rain. The fire is Matthew 3, 11. Baptism in what? In Him, water, Holy Spirit, and with fire. The fire season in your life is not what you think. The fire of God doesn't make us dance and shout and go, woo! The fire of God will get you on your knees in repentance. The fire of God is a sanctifying fire. It is a purifying fire. It is a purging fire. Be careful what you ask for. Don't you dare ask for the rain if you're not willing to go through the fire. Because the fire will precede the rain. The fire season is when God actually does a work in your life, where He will remove the stuff inside of you that would have held back the fulfillment of His purpose for you. And on many occasions, He will not only just remove the stuff inside of you, He will literally remove people from around you that would have held back the fulfillment of His purpose in your life. So if you have been through your drought and you have been through your fire, I need you to put a smile on your face, because the next thing coming to you and your family, I'm going to say this right now, Planet Shakers, get ready. If you've been through your drought, Melbourne, and you've been through your fire, the next thing coming your way, hey, hey, hey. The next thing coming, is anybody ready for this? The next thing coming your way is nothing less than abundant rain. Somebody shout, here comes the rain. Tell your neighbor, here comes the rain. Is anyone here ready for an outpouring from the glory of Jesus? Here comes the rain. Ezekiel 34, 26, in the proper season, I will send the showers they need. They will be showers of blessing. Deuteronomy 28, verse 8, the Lord will send rain at the proper time from His rich treasury in the heavens and will bless everything you do. Acts 3, 20, the times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. One little side note, those that prayed with you in the drought deserve to dance with you in the rain. Number three, it is a mantle of speaking truth with love. So with this mantle, the mantle of the Spirit, the mantle of drought, fire, and rain, the prophet Elijah came along and he confronted Ahab on top of the mountain. He looked at God's children collectively and said, today you must make a choice. Will you follow the gods of Ahab and Jezebel, or will you follow the God of our fathers? One of the saddest verses in all of the Bible. The Bible says that God's children said nothing. We call that political correctness. They said nothing. Let me lay out a quick rubric for you. Today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. I'll repeat that. Today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. Number two, you are what you tolerate. In life, in your mind, in your relationship, in your health, in your circumstances, in your community, in your generation, in your nation, you are what you tolerate. Number three, truth must never be sacrificed on the altar of political or cultural expediency. Number four, there is no such animal as comfortable Christianity. Get over yourself. There is no such thing as kumbaya Christianity. There is no such thing as silent Christianity. No, no, no. Christianity, by its very definition, is the countercultural alternative narrative to the conformity of this world. So it's different. And number five, we must reconcile our eschatology with our missiology, which means what? Well, listen, this. I'm going to get in trouble here. In the 20th century, the church was so focused on getting out of here that we abandoned our God-given mandate to change the world around us. Because we were so involved in escapism, we abandoned our responsibility to be light in the midst of darkness, to be the greatest force for good on planet Earth. Do you really know who should be taking care of the poor? The Church of Jesus Christ. Do you really know who should be leading the march for biblical justice? The Church of Jesus Christ. Do you really realize who should be taking care of the addict and the homeless and the suffering and the widow and the orphan? The Church of Jesus Christ. But we were so focused on we're getting out of here. Listen, I believe Jesus is coming down. But while we are waiting for Jesus to come down, Jesus is waiting for his church to stand up. Call upon the name of the God. Call upon the name of the Lord. It is the mantle of speaking truth with love. We have to activate this mantle in our current landscape by embodying Psalm 89:14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Truth and love lead the way as attendants. It's truth and love. Somebody say truth and love. If all we do is preach about love, we're nothing better than California hippies. If all we do is speak truth, we're mathematicians. The moment we speak truth in love, truth with love, and truth for love, we preach the whole gospel when we change the world. But we can't be afraid. Let me get somebody here to help me out on stage. Where's Tim? Where's my partner, amigo, compadre, or Jason, or somebody? Yeah, somebody to help me out here. I'm going to do something real here. Get me somebody to quickly run up here and help me out. Just hold the microphone for me. Somebody who hasn't been raptured yet. Yeah, come on. You just breached every security protocol right now, but it's... Sure. Here, hold the microphone for a second. This is a book I wrote during COVID called What Heaven Starts at Hell Cannot Stop It. By coincidence, what we're sharing today. So, just want to show you something here. Afraid of the dark. Here's a page. Afraid of the dark. You see that? Mm-hmm. Push your plow, meet your mantle. There goes that. The mantle of spiritual momentum. The speed of life. This book is now discounted. So we will be, I'm going to need your help. The mantle of speaking truth of love. God blessed the book and he blessed it and he did something great with this book. But the fact that I ripped pages from my book will do absolutely zero as it pertains to securing the advancement of the kingdom of heaven here on earth in these very difficult times. Let me have an old school Bible, which means a physical Bible. Grab that for me. Great. Holy Bible. New International Version. Let me do the same thing here. Ready? All right, when I count to three, I want you to shout, and I'm going to start to rip pages off from the Bible. For example, if there's chapters that we ignore because they are so difficult to preach in the 21st century, if we're not willing to preach it, might as well rip it off. If we ignore it because we're gonna get unfollowed and they're not gonna like us, if we ignore it because it's gonna stir things up, might as well just rip it off. So let me go to Romans chapter 1, non-controversial. So let me rip, at the count of three, you all help me just shout. Let me get to Romans, and y'all shout, and I'm going to rip this baby off. Ready? At the count of three, you shout, and I'm going to rip it. And then we're going to go through other chapters, especially in the New Testament, and rip them off. Yeah, because if we're ignoring them, why have them there in the first place? Might as well. At the count of three, are you ready? I'm sorry? You're saying no? Then why do we live like some of the pages are missing? Planet shakers, why do we preach like some of the pages are missing? Why do we pray like some of the pages are missing? Why do we act like some of the... If we are to see Baal and Jezebel and Ahab defeated, we have to preach the whole word and nothing but the word. bless God. We have to teach our children and our children's children that there is...
Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Your family mess is about to become God's miracle. Your health mess is about to become God's miracle. Your financial mess is about to become God's miracle. Your generational mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mental, emotional mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Can you come in agreement with me that America's mess is about to become God's miracle? I wrote a book called Your Mess, God's Miracle, from the narrative embedded in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 9. It's when Jesus healed the blind man, and he did so in a very unorthodox manner. What did he do? He took his spittle, he spit on the ground, he made mud out of it, and he placed it on a blind man's eyes. Did you hear that? What an unorthodox process. This book will empower you with the following truth. The process is temporary, the promise is permanent. I will repeat that. The process is temporary, the promise is permanent. Out of all the books I've written, this is my 11th book. This is the number one message thus far in all of my ministerial and writing trajectory. It's so anointed, it's so filled with God's power and spirit, it will bless your life. I promise you, you read it and you will see by faith through Christ, your mess becoming God's miracle. So go right now. This book comes out April 6th, but there's a sense of urgency in the next few days for you to pick up a copy. So go on Amazon.com, pre-order. Your book will arrive the week of April 6th, but it behooves you, it compels you to get your copy today. And watch this. If you DM me a screenshot of the purchase of the book, my team has been instructed to randomly pick from the DMs individuals who have pre-ordered this book to send them copies of my previous books. You may be receiving 2 copies, 1 copy, 3 copies of books I've already written. Many of them became bestsellers for the glory of God. It will bless your life. So pre-order right now, Amazon.com. Go ahead, let's do this. Your mess, God's miracle.